Right now on VFN TV, the Appeal to Heaven conference taking place in Daphne, Alabama. We'll be talking about that. In addition, the State of the Family by the American Family Association will be talked about. Jerusalem is having to fortify their bus stops, and Pakistan is saying they'll wipe Iran off the face of the earth if they mess with Saudi Arabia. Right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really said it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
We've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. You're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn. We're choosing to stand up, and if we burn, we burn, but we're not going to bow.
It was quite a shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes.
I mean, we're talking about not a 25-year, not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
We haven't seen this level of rain in the Lowcountry in 1,000 years. That's how big this is.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect, and one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America is in real trouble.
Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. It went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. They were ranked in these gangs, and these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful. It's pretty imminent for our country, the United States.
Every day of freedom is like an act of faith. And if we should die trying to live, then at least we die like human beings.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this, if God's on your side, you're on the majority side, no matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me, and when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
He asked me to come and pray for him and also pray for the city. Would you extend your hands this way? Father God, we just thank you for our new chief, David Alexander. We thank you for the man of God he is. Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate the city to you.
We've come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Moloch, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence.
If you want biblical times, you got it. You want the book of Acts? It's coming. You want the days of Elijah? It's here. It's time to become the Elijahs of the day.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them
the religion mountain, which will be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil. Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Well, I'll tell you what, today's program is packed. It's encouraging. We're beginning the program today talking about the appeal to heaven. Did you know, we talked about it before on a previous program, and we have it for you at VFNTV.com on the torch, but did you know that George Washington flew a flag during the Revolutionary War, appealing to heaven, because if heaven didn't move, if God didn't touch, then there's no way this ragtag army, they called it, could have won. But we beat this British army from what they called ragtag, you know, people just coming and fighting against a great British army. But they made an appeal to heaven. And that's where we are today. And that's what you fly here at our studios. We have make an appeal continually to heaven in prayer. And when you make an appeal to heaven, no matter how bad it gets, our God, if we're sincere in that, he can turn everything around. As a matter of fact, in Daphne, Alabama, Dutch Sheets with Dutch Sheets Ministry, who has a movement called Appeal to Heaven. He's going to be hosting it at Church of His Presence, where Pastor John Kilpatrick pastors in Daphne, Alabama. As a matter of fact, let's take a look now.
This Appeal to Heaven message, you know, God took me through a 13-year journey to give me this message. And when he finally succeeded in pulling it all together in me, it was such a undeniable, sovereign, God-initiated process. If my people, who are called by my name, will do these things, I'll heal their land. And he's never needed a majority. This is what I keep telling people. We don't have to get 51% of Americans doing this before God can move. He has always worked through a remnant, and we have that remnant. So we're going to pray, and we're going to birth this, and we're going to inspire, we're going to feed them what they need to hear. We're going to do it through the app, we're going to do it through this Appeal to Heaven tour. I hope we can touch millions with this message. I believe we can, and God's going to do the rest. He's going to light that fire in them, and they're going to say, I have hope. This is God. I'm going to do it. Well, you know, they ruled in the 1850s that slavery was here to stay, that the black man had no right. They ruled they weren't even a person. That was settled law. Aren't you glad somebody, Lincoln, others, rose up and said, now wait a minute, I don't care if they did make this ruling, it's not settled law. That's not right, because it ain't over till God says it's over. And I don't care what they say about the unborn. I don't care what they say about marriage. It ain't over till God says it's over. It's not settled law. He says it's settled law. We're going to change these things. And when I realized this is, he has taken me back to our roots as a nation. And this movement that birthed the nation, a lot of people don't know that we were born under a prayer movement with a flag that said appeal to heaven. But we were. And why did it disappear? I don't really think it was the enemy. I kind of think God hid the flag because he knew, you know, I'm going to need to do this again.
And that's exciting, isn't it? I want to encourage you, if you can, you know, show up at the Church of His Presence, the Appeal to Heaven conference. It's a movement. It's not just some fad. And God responds when we turn to Him. And it's amazing that what God is doing. And we've seen, as a matter of fact, when we talked about the Appeal to Heaven here at VFN TV, we knew that Thanksgiving was coming. They said that they were expecting some attacks to take place. There was a particular person who was on the internet in the Middle East, and they were recruiting, trying to recruit people to do damage to America, and this person was targeted. We prayed on our knees. We called out to God, Appeal to Heaven, and guess what? Within 24 hours, the reports were on the news that they bombed that particular person's home in wherever it was, in Syria, whatever it was, and took out the person who was trying to take out Americans. I mean, God just responds to us praying. And make sure, if you can't be there, you know, get in touch with Dutch Sheets Ministries and follow the Appeal to Heaven, and we'll be talking about it as well, Appeal to Heaven movement. And this is the reason why, when you think about the American Family Research Council, with Tony Perkins giving a state of the family in America, that's what Dutch is talking about, that's what we're talking about. The state of the family is all over the place. And we make Appeal to Heaven, God will begin to show us, what is family again? What is marriage again? What is government again? What is church again? As a matter of fact, let's listen right to Tony Perkins, Family Research Council, when he's talking about the state of family in America. Take a look.
Well, just as the president every year delivers a State of the Union, the head of the Family Research Council addresses the state of the family. And as Paul Strand reports, this year he sees some dangerous threats.
FRC Chief Tony Perkins points to attacks against religious liberty as one of the threats facing American families.
The whole family is really at the core of who we are as a people. And that is really guided by our faith. And as Christians, if we can't live according to our faith, whether it's in the home, whether it's in the workplace, in the school, then we really can't be the Americans that we have the right to be.
FRC brought several individuals together here to personify how religious liberty threats are coming at families and believers from many different directions these days.
That included Kim Davis, the Kentucky County clerk who went to jail last year after refusing to issue gay marriage licenses.
If it comes to me, it's going to come to other people, and families are at risk.
How does she see the battle for gay marriage as a threat to the family?
The very intricate workings of family in itself is at risk. And that's why this is so important. You know, marriage is fundamental for families. And if that breaks down, family is lost.
Then there are the schools. The ACLU accused Louisiana high school principal Jason Rowland of unconstitutional religious proselytizing. What did he do?
I was accused of wishing may God bless you, on just our community and our school community.
Rowland worries what's ahead for American culture if something that small leads to lawsuits.
It's a tragedy for America if that's going to be something that people begin to, that you're offended at.
Our opponents seek to limit our freedom of speech because they fear its power.
In his speech, Perkins emphasized how all our freedoms hang on religious freedom.
The freedom of expression is the very essence of liberty. But there can be no liberty in America without religious liberty. In our hearts, we know this to be true.
Paul Strand, CBN News, reporting from the Family Research Council.
It's time for us to pray. It's time for us to do like Dutch is saying, is to be able to make an appeal to heaven, because horizontally on the earth and through man, through political efforts, it's not going to work out. But when we make an appeal to heaven, God has responded again and again and again. As a matter of fact, our partners for you right now in the VFN TV partner area, we have a particular message talking about an appeal to heaven, positioning yourself to be able to receive from God. I mean, it's a powerful teaching, prophetic teaching about, you know, how to see if you seek the Lord and position yourself, He will give you the strategy and the battle plan. And that's totally there. It's for all of our partners. Just log in to your partners area. If you want to become a partner, go to VFNTV.com, upper right-hand corner, partner today. But when we get back, we're going to be talking about Jerusalem's having to fortify their bus stops because they're getting stabbed, they're getting ran over by cars while they're standing at the bus stop. And we didn't hear anything about that, the State of the Union address, recently by our president. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to encourage you to partner with us today at VFNTV.com. It's you, our partners, who help us together share the gospel all over the Gulf Coast. You can do that today by going to VFNTV.com, and the benefits are numerous. Specials, green room, teachings, and so much more. Be a part. Join us today, and let's do this together. VFNTV.com.
John, I am just so thankful for those that stand with us, you know, to be able to keep the light going.
Yeah.
And it's our partners that stay with us on a regular basis. You know, it doesn't matter what size, a gift, and just kind of give financially and prayerfully every single month through partnership. I don't know if you have not yet partnered. You can actually go to VFNTV.com and just click on partner now, and it walks you through the prompts. There's so many benefits just to say thank you. One is the teachings. There's just all kinds of teachings, prophetic teachings, teachings to encourage you. But there's also specials that are only for our partners. We had to find something special for you too to say thank you. And there's specials that we have for you. And then green room. There's, you know, some interviews that we had that we asked other questions that we don't get a chance to ask on air. And we just put that, you know, in the green room for you. And it's a thank you. It's obviously just standing alone, standing for the light. And this is what the Lord says. When you stand together, you get the same reward. I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and click on partner now. We need you to stand with us.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome back. That is something about the state of the family, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, this is so, so important right now because so many people, wow, so many people are looking everywhere. It's like, listen, it always goes back to the family. What is happening in our home and the importance of making sure that we remain family. Everything in this world is fighting against family. We have to make sure that we stay according to what God designed us to be.
Well, you think, you know,
healthy.
If, you know, you have theories when you're young about what family is. I remember your theories.
Oh, yeah, I had a bunch of them.
Books and all. But then you start walking family out and you realize, I need God.
Yeah.
If I'm going to have real family, I mean, you could turn into all these other things outside of God, and that still doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But God has designed it. He designed family. The very first man he created, he created a woman from his rib to be a helpmate. He said, you know, there's going to be a family here. They're going to, you know, have children and the whole thing. God created family. And so he'll bless it. I mean, he blesses family. And it's amazing. He'll bless family of a country who doesn't even acknowledge him if they operate in the context of how he designed it to be.
And it takes work to have family. You have to be engaged. You have to participate.
Right.
And everybody has to know their role. Right. I like an acronym someone came up for families. Forget about me. I love you. And
thank you.
That kind of helps, you know, family.
I'll try to do that. Thank you very much.
Try it out. Try it out. You can family me.
Forget about you. You can't love me. Well, and so when you're looking at what's happening today, I mean, it's going to be an appeal to heaven. I mean, if family's difficult, and you might be struggling with trying to figure your family out. In this environment today, if you don't have any roots in God and any roots in those who've walked with the Lord and walked out the same calamities and difficulties in family, and you probably feel hopeless in regards to this thing. Everybody's just showing up as, you know, like David Wilkerson prophesied years ago, everybody's separate. There's a truce. Mm. There's no peace. There's just a truce in your home.
Yeah.
You know, he does his thing. She does his thing. The kids do their thing, but nobody's really having any family interaction like that. And having that family unit, that strength, that place of peace that you can be able to go to. Your home is supposed to be a place of peace, even no matter where you meet at. I mean, even if you're in a cave with your family, you're supposed to be able to, you know, trust that family. It's the family
Absolutely.
Of God if they're walking with the Lord. And God gives you a grace for that. Well, if you turn your back on God as a nation, the church says it's optional to be, you know, having, you know, it's crazy things that are going on right now. And all of a sudden marriage becomes all kinds of things, all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is everybody's going to find out is like, even if you do marriage that way, it's difficult.
That's right. That's right.
It's like, there's already divorces taking place. And so, you know, God's designed it. He's for it. But he's also for, you know, marriage has an order to it. You know, if you don't like the order, don't be married. But if you come together to be married, there's an order to it. Anything with more than one head's a monster. And there's structure to it. He talks about in Ephesians chapter 5, you know, how a family is structured. And
everybody has a place.
I really believe that the calamity on marriage happened because we got all out of order.
Yeah.
You know, we got all out of order. And I mean, who doesn't want to give up the responsibility of leading?
Hello.
You know, who doesn't want to just give it up? And the whole thing, God didn't say, you know, hey, if you don't mind, you know, do you want to lead the family and take care of them? He just said, this is what you're supposed to do. And we need men to get back in their places and to help out and to not provoke their children to anger. Don't force them to be a Saints fan.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
That's one of the most difficult things you can do to a child.
That was just a Pat note. I'm a Lions fan. Pat Sunset.
Accept me, Daddy. Just accept it. Accept it. I love the Lions. All right.
Y'all hear that? Okay, so we have a family. So think about this. You're at a bus stop in Jerusalem.
Mm.
You're waiting for a bus with your family. And all of a sudden, somebody drives a car up into the bus stop for the purpose of killing you just because you are Jewish.
Wow.
Just because you're a Christian.
Yeah.
That's happening.
Yes.
It's happening big time. And Jerusalem's city is having to build
these fortifying
bus stops.
Yeah.
Tell us about this what they're saying.
In the last 4 months, about 20 Israelis, 20 attacks like this have occurred. It's like one a week. And you heard of the knife intifada. Maybe this is the car intifada, but they're ramming cars up against and killing people at these bus stops. Well, they at the tune of $525,000, they're building these fortified concrete steel structures that help to protect the people that are waiting, you know, at the bus stop to get on a bus. And these are things that Israel has to actually think about and go into their planning, things that we take for granted. You know, standing around waiting for a bus stop, we don't ever think
I saw somebody with an axe at a bus stop in Jerusalem, somebody with a knife at a bus stop at a Jerusalem.
Yes, and that was the woman. That was the lady.
Yes, that was a lady.
It's like, you have to be on guard 24/7 there, and I applaud the Israeli people and the government doing whatever they have to do to protect their citizens and to be able to recognize a real threat. But
they're very community-oriented in Jerusalem that, you know, it's called a shirut. Is it called a shirut? Yeah, shirut, the taxis. And you go into them, and it's like a minibus type thing. And whoever sits up front, I found out, everybody passes their money to you, and you have to put it in the thing. Don't sit in the front. But it's just so community-oriented. It's like you get on, I mean, obviously, you know, we weren't Jewish, and we weren't from Jerusalem. But you can tell the connection and the family of the people that live there. And, I mean, it's just really cool. It's really cool.
They're awesome.
Imagine being attacked at that Sharut bus, at the bus stop there.
It's just crazy. And then you have yourself, you have children, you have, you know, the women that are there. And it's like, my goodness, why would the extent that they have to go into planning and the finances that are going just to protect bus stops?
And it makes me think about the address of the president where he just spoke about the State of the Union. He never defended Christianity once, who was under the greatest persecution in the world, but he defended Islam.
Wow.
And if anything, defend Judaism and Christianity,
sure.
Because it's the part of Islam that's killing Jews and Christians.
Mm.
But the whole time he's talking at the American Congress, you know, the State of the Union, he defended Islam throughout the whole thing. And it's like, you know, even if you defended Islam, I mean, talked about defending Christians and defending Jews as well. And here they are at the bus stop, didn't mention this, while, you know, the Shia Iranians had 10 of our sailors
hostage,
held captive, and demanding an apology. Our president's defending Islam.
And the Iranian deal, and didn't even speak once about our soldiers, our sailors that were actually being held captive at that time.
Right.
You know, State of the Union is an address that where you explain and you give an update on where the nation is, where it's going, what's going on, and it's a speech that not just people in our own country listen to, but it's a speech that the entire world listens to.
It was a political speech for the world. It was a world. The whole thing I noticed about the State of the Union, I know we weren't going to talk about it at this point, but the whole theme was how to get the approval of the world, how to look good in the eyes of the world. You know, we look. You know, odd if we do this, and they won't like us if we do that. And it's like, why? When did we start turning to get the world's approval, and no longer worry about God's approval?
Yeah,
that's what I realized. The whole thing was how to look good in the eyes of Muslims, how to look good in the eyes of China, how to look good in the eyes of, you know, African countries, how to look good in the eyes of Canada.
Mm.
It's like, oh my goodness, that's it.
Wow,
he's thinking about man and looking good in the eyes of man so you can do business or whatever reason. Never even considering sometimes when you're worried about or concerned about looking good in the eyes of the Lord, men may hate you.
That's
Nations
right.
may never want to do business
that's
with you.
That's right.
You know, and.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
That was what we're going to find that out. As a matter of fact, we are going to have the full Brian Carn word on today. We had it part of his word, but the whole word wasn't there. It was our era. And we'll have it on today. And we'll find out what it looks like, you know, going away from God.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so they said they're going to put these. It's taken about a week, is it? Or
I don't know exactly how long. They're actually in the process right now to, you know, to
can you
start, to get
do y'all
done,
see the bus stop here they're putting up? I think it's 1675. Yeah, look at that. That's what you're looking right there is concrete poured inside steel.
Steel.
They're drilling holes into the concrete in the ground and they're pouring solid things. This is crazy. We didn't even mention this. We didn't even mention this. Why? Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is coming out of a nuclear submarine, saying we're having to have a nuke sub here to be able to defend ourselves. This is what just happened yesterday, I believe. And that
called Dolphin submarines are amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but I want to talk to you about something very important. We have an offer for you. It is a very, very important offer. It's offer 2001, and it's entitled One Thing in 2016. Learning the key to success, prosperity, and peace, no matter what or who comes your way in 2016. This is so important because there's good things happening and there's bad things happening. There's going to be worse things happening and greater things happening. It's going to be happening simultaneously. And David, King David, prior to being king, I mean, he had a lunatic government after him, King Saul. He was trying to attack him, and all he was doing was his job description. God had called him to do what he's doing, but yet the armies were coming against him. I mean, what would you be on your mind? Well, what was on David's mind, he said, one thing I desire, one thing I want. And he's talking about, you know, the Lord, focusing on the Lord. And this is really going to encourage you. This is all put together to be able to encourage you for any amount whatsoever. You can partner with VFN TV. We want to get this to you right away. We can get you a DVD or we can send it to you or you can watch it, you know, online. But it is so important. You need to think about, I'm going to set my gaze upon the Lord in 2016. And guess what? He will lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. I mean, he'll just take care of you. David is a prime example of that. As a matter of fact, all you got to do is go to VFNTV.com, upper right-hand corner, click on Partner Now. Or you can call 844-408-3688. Or you can write to VFN TV Studios at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Do it now. Offer 2001, one thing in 2016, learning the key to success, prosperity, and peace, no matter what or who comes your way.
We spend our whole lives searching for meaning and direction, for something that makes sense. The Bible is supposed to offer that clarity. Is that how it works, though? Because if the Bible is that enlightening, why do so few people spend so little time in it? Maybe we're missing something. Sure, the Bible is the story of God, but it's also our story. If we take God out of the Bible, there is no Bible. But if we take people out of the Bible, there isn't a Bible either. The Bible is our story with God in the middle of it as he has always been. Maybe things are about to change. Maybe direction and clarity can actually be found. You can go through the whole Bible using the time you could otherwise waste. And you'll be among friends. That might just change everything. Look in the mirror. Remember today, because time in the scriptures are going to start shifting things. In a month, you're going to realize that you're not alone. Look back in the mirror in a year, and you'll realize that the Bible has changed the way you look at just about everything. It'll be like coming home. The search is over.
Hi, this is Jason Upton. Thank you for watching VFN TV.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The game plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America, but this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. What an opportunity to be here with you on a daily basis.
Blessing.
Is it not?
Yeah, it really is.
If you missed that prophetic word by Pastor John Kilpatrick, prophecy for 2016, we have it for you on the VFN Torch, or you can go to johnkilpatrick.org and hear it and see it. But it's really encouraging. I mean, this is how the Lord, I mean, we're, so many different ways that we're reaching out. I mean,
yes.
It is amazing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the people watching us now on hearing us on podcasts, of course, Facebook, social media, Twitter. It's really, really great. And we love to hear all the interactions, all the questions, all the posts. And we really appreciate your partnerships and standing with us. It's been an amazing, amazing journey. I mean, it's so exciting.
Well, you know, you hear what Iran is threatening Israel, threatening us, taking our sailors. Mm. But we forget about Pakistan. They are a nuclear nation. And they're saying, if, in fact, Iran makes a move against Saudi Arabia, which they are, they're doing things right now, they'll say they'll wipe them off the face of the map. As a matter of fact, take a look.
Thousands of Iranians demonstrated against Saudi Arabia for executing a top Shiite cleric. They carried pictures of the executed Sheikh Namir, and many shouted, "Death to the House of Saud."
Saudi Arabia has collapsed and has been isolated. It has shown its true nature and has joined the club of wickedness and brutality. It has proved its anti-human nature to the world. Those countries who cooperate with Saudi Arabia will be humiliated, and human society has no respect for them.
Meanwhile, in Pakistan, a Sunni nation, the chief of the army announced that any threat to the territorial integrity of Saudi Arabia by Iran would provoke a sharp response from Pakistan. He said they would, quote, wipe Iran off the map.
In Cairo, the Arab League held an emergency meeting of foreign ministers. Saudi Arabia's foreign minister said Iran's attack on the Saudi embassy in Tehran after the execution of Sheikh Namir was the latest incident in decades of aggression. After the attack, Saudi Arabia cut diplomatic ties with Iran. He warned Iran risked being rejected by all the Arab countries of the region.
If Iran wants to have a positive role in the region, they have to deal with their neighbors. Like it happens everywhere in the world, they should have good relations and not interfere with others' issues, rejecting terror and not supporting it. If Iran would do so, it would be possible to live peacefully in the region as neighbors, but if they continue to support sectarian aggression, terror, and violence, they will face the rejection of the Arab countries.
Many experts don't expect a direct conflict between the two Middle East superpowers, but it's likely the proxy wars they're fighting in Yemen, Syria, and Iraq will intensify. Chris Mitchell, CBN News.
I tell you what, you know, it's good that somebody's paying attention to Saudi Arabia and saying, oh, yeah, you know, we're just not going to let you be taken advantage of. But that's just out of the middle of nowhere, and you're hearing what, you know, Pakistan's saying that they'll do if you mess with them. And you're looking at, and one day we're going to have a whiteboard, simple explanation between Sunni and Shia, because as long as we talk, it's like letters in the air. But it's basically two sects of Islam religion. And there's a lot of inward battling. And by the way, Jews and Christians and non-Muslims pretty much are just like fodder in the whole thing. They have one imam, basically. I guess it was imam in Saudi Arabia. A cleric.
Yeah,
and
a caliph, a leader.
Yeah, he.
It's all about.
He gets killed, and they get the whole nation's in uproar. Okay, I understand that he was coming against Saudi Arabia, or whatever. But I understand the whole nation's in an uproar. How come we're not in an uproar about James Foley?
Yes.
How come we're not in an uproar about everybody's that's lost their head? How come we're not in an uproar about the Christians that were beheaded on Tripoli shore? Mm. You know what I'm saying? But it's almost like people go, "Oh, that's just, you know, they should be in an uproar." It's like, no, we should be in an uproar about what's happening to Christians,
absolutely,
and Jews and Americans around the earth. As a matter of fact, Jews just got killed in Turkey. Christians just got killed in Turkey. They're focusing on Germans, trying to hurt Germans there, and it's just, it's pretty crazy days. But you know what? It's been prophesied about this. The Lord spoke to me very specifically, and in a dream, it was a night vision. I'm sitting in this particular place, and it was unjust things that were going on. The laws were wrong. They wouldn't be improperly applied. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me in the middle of that. And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, the seed of evil will come down, and the seed of the righteous will rise. I mean, it was plain as day. And that means there's a seed of evil right now like never before in the earth. Like the Lord said, it's going to come down.
Wow.
It's going to come down, and there's going to be a process. Obviously, it's not going to go down without a cry or without a shout or without, you know, taking everything it could with it. But I want you to be confident of this. So what you're about to see in this word, when we get back from this break, is a prophetic word, the full prophetic word, you know, from Brian Karn about some calamities that are coming. But understand this, in the process of this, when the enemy's about to go down, you know, he puts everything he can on the plate. And you're looking at people right now doing desperate measures. I mean, it's like, I can't believe what they're doing. That's a sign.
It's embarrassing.
It's a sign that they feel like they're in danger of it being over again. Well, according to God, the seat of evil will fall and the seat of the righteous will rise. We can just claim that, receive that, and walk with God and watch him do his awesome work. We'll show you this prophetic word from Brian Karn after the break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN-TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings, and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Brian Karn, he is, I don't know him. You know, every prophetic word should be, you know, weighed out and tested out. And if it's true, it comes to pass. If it's not, it's not. It's how you know if it's a prophet. But based on what Benny Hinn was saying about him as he introduced him, and we have available for you research on, you know, his ministry and those type of things. But it's kind of a convergence of prophetic words and visions that we had.
Sure.
And this is a prophetic vision he had, and it's rapid, so you got to like pay close attention because it's going to be just major things he's going to talk about. And he's going to talk about elections. He's going to talk about people by name. And he has passwords that we're going to make available to you that you can see that those things were spoken, that they came to pass or not. But it's kind of a convergence. You know, it's kind of like the how it's going to happen, some of the things that we heard. But realize at the same time, God's going to take care of his people. The hope is not in man. The hope is not in government. The hope is in the kingdom of God and in Jesus Christ, the king of that kingdom. So this is Brian Karns giving a prophetic vision, sharing it about what the Lord said to him.
I want to talk to you for just a moment because
The word of the Lord came to me. I had a vision, and in the vision, now, you know, I tell y'all, if I have a dream, it's 50-50. Could have been what I ate last night. But if I have a vision, you can put your life on it. And I had a vision. I was having a conversation with Hillary. And I said to her, are you sure you want to be president? I said that the next 8 years are going to be worse than the last 8 years. Then she smiled. She said she was sure. And then I heard military planes flying over my head in the spirit. Hmm. On my way here today, flying on the plane, Pastor, the Lord began to speak to me as the Lord told me he had an appointment with me last week. And on Friday, he told me that Russia is getting ready to start wars that's going to invoke America to be a part of them. Things that America don't want to be a part of because we're friends and allies with certain nations. But Russia is going to do something in other nations that's going to invoke wars, and it's going to cause America to be a part of it. The Lord said that there's a lethal virus coming to America that's going to come through terrorism, a lethal virus. He told me to prepare for World War III. He said that there would be two wars. One would come from the left, one would come from the right. He said we would catch them. He said, but there would be a third war that would catch us by surprise, that we're not going to be prepared for. And it's going to be a country that we've given alms to, but they're going to turn on us. Let me share with you some things that the Lord gave me, and I want you to hear me. Because the Lord said this very strong. He said that what happened in California will become commonplace in America.
No doubt.
And an event worse than 9/11 is coming to America. The Lord said Islam has a definite problem. They will never shake this reputation of violence from themselves. Even innocent Muslims will endure hardship and persecution in the future and no longer see America the same. American Muslims are going to begin to gather to cities like Dearborn, Michigan, and form new communities that contain the populace of their presence, so as to guard the backlash from white patriotic America. The Lord says that a witch hunt will be found by the end of Obama's reign, for there shall be a surprising spectacle that will shock the souls of America and sear the spirits of those who embrace the work of presidential wisdom. A shaking is getting ready to come. The Lord says there's going to be a forced conclusion that's coming to the White House. People will lose trust in the voting process. They will deny and doubt America's political process to vote and acquire leadership. This next election will be manipulated. Even Trump will confront his fate and stir many to a position or place to riding. This will cause upheaval to come because the political game was revealed in this upcoming season, for it shall be historic, says the Lord. Hmm. And Hillary will be found at the end of the day, smiling with success as a new war begins. The saying goes, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And this will be Trump's greatest blunder, and his mockery will be his legacy, says the Lord. Mm. I want you to listen to me. The next 8 years in America will be worse than the last 8 years. But because of this season of darkness, many will come to God. More than in previous seasons and years combined together.
I think the most encouraging part of that is the harvest, people's
yes.
souls. You know, what does it take to save? How many parents, you know, want their children to be saved? Mm. But they're not willing for their children to go through walking out yeah. their own decisions. And God wants all of us to be saved. And he's willing for us to go through, you know, whatever it takes, because Jesus even said, if your eye offends thee, the hand offends thee, if your foot offends thee, he says, gouge out the eye and cut off the hand and cut mm-hmm. off the leg. By the way, that's not Islam. That's New Testament. Yeah. He's not talking about doing that, but he's saying that's how serious he is in regards to dealing with sin, because he says it's better for you to go to heaven without an eye, without a foot, without a hand, than it is to go to hell with all your body parts. And so that means, if calamity has to happen, he says, consider hardship as discipline. I'm treating you as a son. And, you know, we've been praying, dear God, send, you know, revival, send a third great awakening. Well, it's going to come in the midst of great pressure and the birthing of things that happen. But I know that he said, too, he said that the enemy's going to come from the right and the enemy's going to come from the left. But that comes right out what the Lord spoke to me in a vision, a night, a dream, where Brother John Kilpatrick, which is a spiritual father to me, but also an apostle, but he was in this dream, and he was standing up prophesying. And it was this bold prophecy taking place, and God is showing me him prophesying. And he's saying the enemy's going to come from the east, and the enemy's going to come from the west. But he said the church is going to be victorious. Mm. And he says, we're going to mow them over. And then, but this enemy that's coming, I mean, he's not saying this now, the Lord's beginning to show me, you know, it's demonic. There is no double light. I mean, you're either for God or against them. You're either gathering or scattering. And when the enemy comes in against people, hurts people, harms people, kills people, beheads people, you know, tax people, that's not God. Mm. That's the enemy just doing what the enemy does. But it's of the devil. And not only that, the Lord spoke to me about 1967. And in the same prophecy, this from a prophetic dream, and that in 1967, you know, I'm pondering that, of course, Israel's 1967 borders, where our president says Israel needs to go back to the 1967 borders, which are undefensible borders. And we've talked about that. But also in 1967 in America, we had riots all over America in different cities. We had racial riots going on. We had the 25th Amendment was presented and approved in 1967, which was if the president becomes incapacitated, if he or she dies or whatever in office, then they have this 25th Amendment to be able to say, you know, who gets into power next and that type of thing. You can read it. It tells you. I'm telling you exactly what it says, but it's about that. North Korea had a hydrogen bomb, and I didn't know hydrogen bombs were worse than atomic bombs or nuclear bombs. And so right now, North Korea is saying they just shot off a hydrogen bomb. We're like walking into the 1967 because Chuck Pierce said this. He said, you know, that if, in fact, you know, you told Israel they have to go back to 1967, America, now we're going to go back to 1967. And what was that? Everything that you're seeing. But it's going to be today's problems with those mindsets of the 1967. So it's going to be really rough. So you're looking at exactly what, you know, he's talking about, you know, he's hearing in this particular vision. But the one thing about that prophetic dream, when he said the enemy's going to come from the right and the enemy's going to come from the left, well, the Lord told me that the enemy is going to come from the east and it's going to come from the west. And that, but in that, despite what's going on, there's going to be victory for the church. I mean, it's what it's going to take. I mean, there's a lot of hard-hearted, stiff-necked people who are professing to be Christians right now are not even doing anything that God says. We're not even standing up for the murder of children or, you know, we're just in our own marriages are out of order and, you know, and we're just, you know, holiness and righteousness, you know, we need to touch from God to bring us back into a place again that where holiness is where we're separated from the things that separate us from God. It's not some look. It's just, you know, holiness is a separated towards God. So God separates us and it's different for everyone, you know, whatever that is to keep you holy. But we just need a move of God. We need a move of God and it looks like God's going to do that. And he says specifically in that word was when, you know, this Apostle John Kilpatrick, Brother Kilpatrick, was saying, we're going to mow them over. I mean, it was just confident, you know, we're going to mow them over.
This was in a dream,
Yeah, this is in a dream. It's in a dream, prophetic dream. And that the church will be victorious. And it's going to multiply. The church is going to multiply, the Lord said, didn't it? So, you know, it looks bad if you're a weed or if you're, you know, grass growing when somebody decides to grow a garden in you because they're fixing to pull you up and till the soil. Because they're going to grow something, but in the end, you're going to have vegetables, you're going to have this garden and this type of thing. And so I believe this is going to be a tilling of the soil of men's hearts. It's going to be the greatest harvest. You know, we ask for a garden, we ask for food, but the process of bringing that food to us means, you know, you're going to have to raise these cows and feed them. At one point, they're going to have to be slaughtered and you know, brought to pieces so that you have them in between a piece of bread calling it a hamburger. I mean, there's processes to things. You know, we kind of oversee processes in this generation, but even to a move of God.
Well, Jesus talks about Matthew 13, of the parable of the sower, that in order for that soil to bear fruit, this seed to bear fruit, it's all matters of conditions of that soil. Yeah. And in order for us to have these, this soft heart, we're going to have to go through a tealing process here. We're going to have to go through some brokenness. But the end result is that we'll have a heart that's going to produce righteousness after God. And so, Lord, whatever it takes, right?
Right. And that's to give you the hope. You know, when you're going through something, you're thinking like, this is probably going to bring me to the end of myself. That could be the whole goal of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, remember this, when you get to the end, God will be there too.
Yeah.
And that you know, when you... You know, Abraham, against all hope, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations. You know, our God is faithful, and he loves us.
Yes.
And so in there, he's in this somewhere, and he has plans in store, and has taken these type of things to soften the soil of men's hearts. And there's going to be a great harvest, you know, as you heard earlier on our previous program where Perry Stone saying the Lord told him, you know, people are going to be looking for somebody who's going to teach them the ways of God. Good days are ahead. But they'll come in the midst of some real difficult days. And I want to pray with you. I'd like to pray with you right now and encourage you and ask you to pray for us. You know, as we just talk to the Lord right now and just ask him to move. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for letting us know what's going to happen in advance. Lord, you said you do nothing unless you reveal it through your prophets first. Lord, you've been speaking to us that difficult times are here and are coming, but simultaneously your kingdom will advance. The church will multiply. People will get hungry for you and come to you and get saved by the multitudes, God. Even in the midst of calamity, God, help us be ready for the harvest, God. I pray even now, Lord God, for everyone that's watching and listening, all those that have partnered and stood with us at VFN TV, Father God, they're saying, you know, we're preparing now for the harvest to come in, no matter what comes, in the name of Jesus. Dear God, we ask you right now, Lord, that you would end abortion. Forgive us for all the innocent bloodshed that's happened in this nation, and send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Mm. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books. They got the books memorized, you know, they got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.